It's great to have you here today as we finish the week together. From my perspective, we have had quite a week here on God Is. I've centered us in Romans chapter 1 and verses 16 through 17. I want to read that for you again as we begin today. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. In these two verses, some of the most crucial in the entire Bible, the Apostle Paul is telling us what the gospel actually is. And there are four key words that I have highlighted for our serious and in-depth consideration. Do you remember what they are? The first word is power, the second word is salvation, the third word is faith, and the fourth word is righteousness. Power, salvation, faith, and righteousness. Please make sure you have those highlighted in your own Bible. It's only when we understand what the Bible means by using these words to describe the gospel that we then know what the gospel actually is, how it is applied in our lives, and ultimately to answer our big question, to know how God makes us holy. This week, we started with the first word, power, and I said that God is power. God is power. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 64, Jesus gives God the title name power. And we talked about that. Since Jesus is God in human form and tells us everything that God has decided we need to know, then certainly we can trust the testimony of Jesus Christ. God is power. The Apostle Paul affirms this in what I have just read to you in Romans 1 and verse 16. He says, the gospel is the power of God. In fact, Jesus and Paul use the same word for power, but Jesus uses it as a title name for God himself. It's the word dunamis. Dunamis. We get our English word dynamite from this Greek word dunamis. Power. Dunamis. Dynamite. Dynamite sure is powerful. And what the Apostle Paul is saying is that the gospel is the power of God blowing up within the lives of those who receive it and believe it. How does God make us holy? It's like he takes a stick of his dynamite, his power, and puts it into our souls and lights the fuse. The power of God explodes within us. And again, this is in the life of a person who receives the gospel and believes it. And let me talk about that for a moment. In order for the power of God to be set off in your life, you must receive the gospel and believe the gospel. To receive the gospel means you have heard it clearly and you understand what it means. If you have not received this gospel, then the power of God is not active within you. And to believe it means you accept that the only way for you to be saved from your sin, to be made holy by God, to be accepted by God, is in the gospel. There is no other way. If you do not believe this gospel, then the power of God is not active within you. This gospel must be received and believed. And I pray that you will receive the gospel and believe the gospel through our time together here on God Is. Christians, please pray along with me for everyone listening to receive this and believe this. And please share what you have learned this week with others in your network of relationships. Pass along the good news to those who have never heard it before or need to hear it again. Paraphrasing Paul in Romans chapter 10 and verse 14, how will people hear unless someone tells them? That someone is you. A lot more was said about this earlier in the week, and then I gave you three implications for what happens in the life of a person who receives and believes this gospel. Let me remind you of the first three, and today I will give the fourth. First, because the gospel is the power of God, people who receive it and believe it will never be the same again. The gospel results in a radically changed life. Your life is lived very differently now than it was before the gospel. And here's the second implication for when God's power explodes within a person who receives and believes the gospel. You realize that you have not done this for yourself. You have not radically changed your life. God has changed your life. God has done this within you. It's not by your power that you are made holy. It is by God's power that you are made holy. Third, because the gospel is the power of God, no one can stop it. Because the gospel is the power of God, nothing can stop it. And we talked about this yesterday. Should you have missed any of this, then you can download the free podcasts of each broadcast from the WEZE website, 590amtheword.com. That's 590amtheword.com. Click podcasts, and God is will be there. What is the fourth implication for a person who receives and believes this gospel? Well, fourth, because the gospel is the power of God, it is God's way of saving people. And this fourth implication is going to serve as a link between the keyword power and the second keyword salvation. And on Monday, we are going to dive into the word salvation. That's so very important. So please be back here on Monday. But right now, please go back with me to Romans 1 so that we can see this in the text. Romans 1 and verse 16. The gospel is the power of God for salvation. Did you hear that? If you have your Bible there, do you see it? I want you to hear the phrase in its entirety. The power of God for salvation. The power of God for salvation. Notice how the power of God exists for a reason. The power of God is in a person for salvation. Another way that we could say this would be to say that God saves people with his power. The little three-letter word for is actually really important. Every word in the Bible is important. I hope that you will understand that in order for you to be saved from your sin, you must have the power of God residing, living within you, because it is the power of God for salvation. This is how God does his ministry of saving people from our sin. It's the only way he does it. He does not do it any other way. And this is definitely what the Apostle Paul emphasizes repeatedly throughout the letters that he wrote to the churches and to the Christ followers within those churches. And so what I want to do with the remainder of our time is to just take you on a tour of Paul's theology regarding the power of God. What you will hear as I read is that the power of God is God's way of saving people. This is how God operates. This is how he does what he does in salvation. Just another quick note before I begin the tour. I do not have time to give you every reference to the power of God that Paul uses throughout the New Testament. It's everywhere. And so what I have done is to choose some of the most prominent. And as we begin in Ephesians 1 and verse 19, I want you to listen to the word power. In Ephesians 1 and verse 19, Paul writes, "The surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might." There is the power of God. He says to the church at Ephesus, God's power, which is greatness, is toward us who believe. And who are the people who believe? They are the Christ followers, Christians, who believe the gospel. And he continues to say that God works in the strength of his might. That is power again. Might is power. Just as God uses his power to raise Jesus Christ from the dead, providing for the believer's salvation, so too God uses his power within the believer to activate salvation from sin. Paul is saying to the Ephesians, God's power is toward us who believe. As he put it to the Romans, the gospel is the power of God for salvation. So we have the power of God in Rome and the power of God in Ephesus, both as God's way of saving people. And now we will see the power of God in Philippi. I am reading now from Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. This is Philippians 2 and verse 13. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Now you might say the word power is not even in this verse. How is this the power of God? Oh, it's there. It's in God who is at work in you. How is God at work? By his power. The context of this verse is salvation. In fact, the word salvation is in verse 12. Let me read Philippians 2 and verse 12. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Did you hear it? Salvation, followed in verse 13 by God who is at work in you. Friends, there it is again. This is our fourth implication for when the gospel is received and believed. Because the gospel is the power of God, it is God's way of saving people. God gives salvation, And God is at work in those who believe the gospel. And he's at work in his divine power. Now, I wasn't going to do this, but now I am. I really want you to see God's power as it concerns salvation. So I want to bring the Apostle Peter into the conversation here as well. I told you we were going to hear from Paul, but let's expand this now to Peter. Listen to 1 Peter 1 and verse 5. This is now Peter writing to the church. You who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Wow, it just jumps off the page at us. Let me read that again. 1 Peter 1 and verse 5. You who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Doesn't Peter sound just like Paul? There are the words power of God connected to the word salvation. Peter says the same thing Paul says. Because the gospel is the power of God, it is God's way of saving people. And it is God's way of saving people in all times and in all places and keeping us saved. By the way, we have been saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved. This is the promise that God gives to the Christian. I'll bring this up again next week when we talk about the word salvation in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. I must go, but here is our fourth implication for when the gospel is received and believed. The gospel is the power of God. It is God's way of saving people. Much more about this starting on Monday. I hope you have a really great weekend, everybody. I hope that you'll be able to worship our living God. Then I'll talk to you on Monday as you join me for God Is.